Okay, Aaron, what are we talking about today?
I think we're talking about animals.
Life and death.
Life and death, animals, and altruism.
Right. Your hamsters once saved your life.
Hamsters, yeah.
Right?
I've never had hamsters, Dan. I've never had hamsters.
Pretty much the same thing.
I've had gerbils, and I've had guinea pigs, and I've had mice, but I've never had hamsters.
They're all rodents.
They're all rodents, that is true, yeah. But I don't think they've saved my life, though.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
You weren't ever in a really dark place, and that little
hamster
looked
came
up to you and said...
No, that never happened to me.
Put his little dirty paw on.
Save me from the abyss. The little gerbil, yeah. No, it's never happened. Never. How about you? Have you ever been helped out by an animal?
Well, you saved my life once.
That's true. That's true. I did. Actually, twice I've saved your life. Twice,
really? What was the first time?
Well, the first time was, just after we had met,
Right.
And I pulled you out of a deep, dark space.
I remember
just
that.
Out of my kindness.
And what was the second time?
The second time was when you were drowning in the Kamogawa River.
That
and I took pity on you and saved
that
you.
That I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it happened.
No, I've never been saved by an animal.
No.
But I have been harassed by animals.
Oh, I've been attacked by animals.
What kind of animals have you been attacked
by?
I've
been attacked by monkeys.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been attacked by monkeys.
And what did you do to deserve that?
Nothing. Actually, maybe I did something. I was in their space in the mountains alone. And they happened to come down the mountain, a big troop of them, about 60 or 70 of them.
60 or 70?
Yeah, they were huge numbers. And this was on the mountain right on the east side of town here.
Uh-huh.
And I was alone, and it was in the morning. And they came right through, and the males, the big males, did not want me there. And
what'd
so
you do?
Well, I initially was quite mesmerized by this big troop of monkeys, and I stood still.
Uh-huh.
But then some of the bigger males started to approach me, and I tried to walk by them very carefully and trying not to make eye contact.
How big was were the
big
ones?
They were big. They were big monkeys, yeah. They were macaques.
Like up to your chest?
Could
they stand up?
I suppose if they
chest?
Stood all the way up, they would be up to my chest or neck.
Huh.
Not quite 2 meters, but meter and a half maybe.
Uh-huh.
But they were thick. They were big.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I walked right by one of them, and he kind of looked at me in the corner of his eye, and then he turned and started chasing me. And then three of them started chasing me, and one jumped out of the trees.
You ran.
I ran as fast as I could, and they were screaming at me.
Were you faster than them?
I don't think they intended to do me any harm, even though at the time I thought they were going to do me harm. But looking back on it, I think they just wanted me out of that space because they had babies, they had young mothers and children, and there was this, human,
right,
probably perceived as a threat,
right,
and they did the right thing. They got me out of there, and they didn't have to fight, and I didn't have to fight. I just was very scared.
But you were mesmerized at first.
Well, because, I was hiking alone in the mountains, and it was very beautiful, and suddenly,
the call of the
out
wild,
of nowhere,
appear
dozens upon dozens of wild animals, monkeys. It was fascinating.
Did you think about just ripping off your clothes
and
running away with them?
No, Dan, I didn't. I did not think about that. Maybe I should have had you with me. Right. Maybe you could have.
The call of the wild.
The call of the wild. That's right, yeah. But yeah, I was attacked by monkeys. I've been stung by some bees. I've been bitten by a few snakes.
Uh-huh.
Nothing poisonous.
Uh-huh.
I've been bitten by a few dogs, scratched by a few cats, but nothing, terrible. How about you? Have you ever been attacked by an animal?
I've had stuff stolen from me by monkeys.
By monkeys, yeah. Yeah, me too, actually. Yeah.
I've had, camera cases. Uh-huh. I had a drink slam dunked out of my hand by, the Michael Jordan of monkeys.
Yeah.
When I was really thirsty, I just climbed up a mountain.
Oh, and he
just
took
bought
it, huh?
This delicious drink, and then this gang of monkeys start running by me, and one just
grabbed it. Yeah.
Snatches it right out of my hands.
Wow, he ganked that.
But the monkeys in the story, they were looking out for May Cool.
That's right.
And may I say that he has quite a cool name, May Cool.
May Cool, yeah.
Is that a real name?
That's pretty cool.
I wonder if that's a common name in Chile.
I have no idea. But, he ran into the forest. He got lost.
Right.
He couldn't find his way out. and he probably would have died of hunger, of
thirst before hunger. Yeah.
And these monkeys were dropping fruit from the trees.
Right.
To keep him going.
And they were leading him to shelter, he felt.
Okay.
Or maybe they were just going to shelter themselves, and he was like, let following me hang out, them. Guys.
Or maybe they were just throwing him the fruits that they didn't want. Right. They were like half rotten, maybe, or these are no good, and they throw them on the ground. He thought that they were...
Maybe they're trying to get rid of them. No, he claims that they were looking out for him.
And it could
but he
well
was kind of out of his head.
Yeah.
He was, I think he had some kind of...
Right, but there are, I mean, we've all heard of stories of monkeys helping children or taking care of children.
We have?
I think we have. You haven't heard of that? I mean, isn't that what the Jungle Book is all about? Like,
I think this is the first one I've ever heard of.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, there's got to be others, man. Like children that have been discovered at like living with monkeys for...
That's true. They're probably
like chimpanzees or baboons or something. I'm sure there's stories out there of that. Keeping them alive for several months or several years.
Right.
And then they get reunited with human society. I mean, I'm sure we may have even covered a story like that at some point.
I think we did.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's...
I once saw this documentary that had these monkeys that had dogs for pets.
The monkeys had dogs for pets?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Did they ride them? No, they didn't ride the
dogs.
They
didn't ride them, but they stole them. I think they were stealing them as puppies and then keeping them.
Like dog rustlers.
But anyways, I mean, aside from the fact that they were stealing these babies, they were taking care of them almost like a human would take care of a dog.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess the dogs probably like that. That's probably okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if they're getting taken care of, you know, I mean, isn't that the dog's shtick in a way? Like, kind of like making friends with someone who can take care of them and feed them. Like they're loyal. They're very, you know, loyal towards their owner, their master. And someone is taking care of you and feeding you. That's kind of how they've survived through the millennia, by making themselves
ingratiating themselves,
making themselves useful, like as a guard,
they're helping.
Yeah.
They're helping. They're giving as much as they're getting.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Anyhow, yeah, May Cool. That's a pretty wild story.
Yeah.
And then there was the story of Kevin Hines.
Uh-huh. This is the one that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right. Right. I was reading that over the past 60 years or so, 2,000 people. It's a very common place.
Oh, yeah. That's a very common place to commit suicide. Yeah.
2,000 people have jumped from there in the last 60 years.
What's the death rate? Like, it's pretty high, right?
It's 99%.
Oh, that many. Okay.
So he's like one of 20 people
who've ever survived.
Right. And there's been more than 2,000.
Wow.
So it's less than 1%.
Wow.
Survive.
Wow.
And apparently it's the height of a 25-story building.
Uh-huh. And so when you hit the water, it's pretty brutal. Yeah.
The force of the impact, even though
breaks
it's water.
Breaks your neck or breaks your back or something,
And I think he might have been the only one. You see this guy now. He's totally mobile. He looks like a normal...
Really virile,
strong young guy.
Right.
I think in high school he was a football player.
Uh-huh.
And he talks about, you know, in the story we talk about that point where he's on the bus and he's riding home and he's riding to the bridge to kill himself and he's crying openly in the bus and he says to himself, if one person asks me, you know, are you okay?
I won't do it.
That'll show me that somebody cares.
Right.
But you look at this guy, he's like a big, like muscular guy.
Uh-huh.
And I could see being like, if I saw that guy being a little bit intimidated, like...
Yeah,
yeah,
like
he's a big dude.
And he's like, you know, emotionally upset. Yeah, I wouldn't want to mess with him, right?
Yeah. But he says that, so now he's a mental health advocate and he travels the world giving talks about people who are suicidal and really, you know, urging people to, like, if you ever see somebody like him, to like to reach out and be that person.
Oh.
And he also tries to, you know, reach out to people himself who are suffering from bipolar or mania or different kinds of mental issues, and trying to give them hope that, you know, it's not always going to be that way.
Right.
And he says he still suffers, you know, sometimes from paranoid thoughts or suicidal thoughts, but he thinks about all of the, he realizes after surviving, like, how many people he affected that are still in pain with the thought that, you know, he was going to kill himself, and still worry to this day, even though it's been 10 or 15 years, that any moment they could get a call and find out that he's killed himself.
Right.
So I don't know how he comes with up with the statistic, but he says something like, for every person who commits suicide, there's it sends out ripples throughout their family and friends, and it ends up affecting something like 150 people.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. That can really emotionally affect people.
Yeah.
Cause them depression or regret or something like that. But like, you know, both of these stories just sort of touch upon the altruistic nature of animals and their level of awareness that sometimes we just take for granted, that because they're animals and because they don't live, you know, in the way that we live and don't have the sensibilities necessarily, especially the intellect that we have, that they're somehow wild or dumb. Or, but the fact that, you know, a sea lion in the water can see that this human is struggling, it does not help that sea lion in any way to help the human. It's purely altruistic. They can see that this human's going to die. This human is in suffering. This other being, this other creature is suffering. I'm going to help that creature. I just find that really inspiring in a way. Like, it's comforting that animals are really aware in many ways of what's going on.
Yeah, apparently the sea lion stayed with him until the Coast Guard boat came.
Yeah, and there's I've read so many stories or heard so many stories in my life of like other sea creatures, like dolphins or whales. Actually, there was a recent one of a group of, I guess it was a lifeguard and maybe his family members that were swimming in the water, in the ocean. And suddenly they were just surrounded by these dolphins that were really active and really close to them, almost bumping into them. And they didn't understand why these dolphins were acting so strange. And it turns out they saw this gigantic great white shark circling them.
Yeah.
And the dolphins were fending them off. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah. Yeah, I think there's been a few stories of protective rings by dolphins against sharks, sharks attacking the humans.
Yeah, I also read another one recently of a young boy, like maybe 5 or 6 years old, very young, was camping with his parents and way out in the middle of nowhere. And his parents had some kind of raft or boat, and they went out on the water and left him on the shore to do some fishing. And somehow that boat capsized on the river they were on, and they drowned. And he actually watched his parents drowning. And he panicked. He didn't know what to do. And so he decided he was going to run to try and find help.
How old was he again?
I think he was like, he was a young boy. I don't know how old he was. He was a young boy. He wasn't very old. And of course, you know, it soon became night, soon became dark, and it was like freezing cold. And he was like shivering on the ground, and he felt like this something furry and warm get up next to him, and he fell asleep. And when he woke up in the morning, he was basically covered by 3 beavers.
Really?
That kept him warm through the night and saved his life, because it got below zero, like the temperature. And he was covered, his body was covered by 3 beavers.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, like you think, it's one thing to think of a dolphin, because we know dolphins are very smart animals.
Right.
Or dogs, or monkeys. Right. Monkeys are kind of like us in a lot of ways.
Or a dog, because it's your pet.
It's because it's your pet, and we're familiar with them. But beavers? Like, who would think that 3 beavers would take it upon themselves to save this young child, and knowing that by getting close to them, that would keep that child warm enough to survive through the night? I thought that was just amazing. I read that online. I mean, I don't know. Is it true? I mean,
yeah,
maybe it's not. Yeah. But if it is, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did that
happen? That was in Canada. Maybe, I don't know, 10 years ago it happened.
Yeah. You know, we've covered stories of dogs who've saved their owners. Mm-hmm. But to think of, like, you know, a wild animal. And usually, yeah, exactly. We associate that with wild animals, with just thinking about survival, their own survival.
Yeah. Or we read lots of stories about wild animals just, like, completely preying upon human beings and ripping them to shreds. Right. You know, I mean, it could totally go the opposite way. So, I guess maybe animals are like humans. There's some bad ones and some good ones.
But yeah, that's mind blowing to think of beavers.
Beavers
feeling a connection with a lost boy.
Yeah. So. But yeah, there's a lot of stories out there of animals helping out humans in need.
Right.
And of course, likewise, humans help out animals in need. But as we know, humans do lots of terrible things as well to not only animals, but their brothers and sisters. Yeah. So.
Well, you know, we should post a video of this guy, Kevin Hines, talking about his experiences. He's really a good speaker and really touching, talking about, you know, reaching out to people in need.
Yeah.
I think he's got a really powerful message.
I wonder if he does any things for like sea lion conservation or helping the sea lions. I mean, I'm trying to imagine if that were me and the sea lion saved my life, I would want to get involved in, like, helping sea lions in my life.
Right.
Because, like, the sea lion did something great for me.
Right.
Is there any way I can give back to their community?
Right.
Because, you know? I mean, they have issues, too.
Yeah.
In, like, San Francisco Bay Area.
Yeah.
You know, there's problems with sea lions. Some of them get abandoned. Some of them get injured. They get hit by boats.
Right.
And there's issues there.
But I think he's more focused on suicide prevention.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I remember I was just a week ago, I was driving my car and I see this young college girl, looks college age, and she's sitting on the curb.
Yeah.
Just like crying with her head between her knees. Okay. And there are all these people walking by. Uh-huh. And I'm in my car at a light and like it's a one lane road. And I'm thinking, like, did she get hurt or something? And there's just a mass of people going by, just walking right by
her.
And I think they just kind of felt that maybe it wasn't their business.
Right.
And that they shouldn't intrude or maybe embarrass this person or disturb this person. And yeah, this guy Kevin, he talks about how it's everybody's business, you know, when there's somebody in need and there's somebody suffering, and that every day, you know, there are thousands of people who get in such a dark space that they, you know, that they kill themselves, and that, you know, we should always be thinking of that as our business, even if we don't know that person.
Right. That's interesting. That's certainly a problem. In Japan, of course it's a problem everywhere, but especially Japan, they have the highest suicide rate in the world, I believe, if not one of the highest.
I think it's up there.
Yeah.
All right, my friend.
All righty.
Well, until next time.
Okay. Well, I hope you treat those animals nice.
All righty.
All righty.